Well, Bob and his wife Carol faithfully attended their parish's annual carnival every year, where a local pilot would offer helicopter rides for a $50 donation to the parish building fund. And every year Bob would say, "Carol, I'd really like to ride in that helicopter." And Carol always replied, "I know, Bob, but the helicopter ride is $50, and $50 is $50. After several years of this, Bob said, "Carol, I'm 85 years old. And if I don't ride in that helicopter now, I might never get a chance." But Carol simply replied, "Bob, $50 is $50. Well, the pilot, who was a practical joker, overheard the discussion and said, "Folks, I'll make you a deal. I'll take the both of you for a ride. And if you don't say a word for the whole ride, it won't cost you a penny. But if one of you says a word, it's $50. So they went up, and the pilot made all kinds of fancy maneuvers, but not a word was heard from the back seat. He did daredevil tricks, but there wasn't a peep. As he landed, the pilot looked in the mirror and said, "Boy, I did everything I could to get you to say something, but you didn't. I'm impressed." And Bob replied, "Well, to tell you the truth, I almost yelled when Carol fell out. But you know, $50 is $50. Well, today the gospel is about marriage, okay? Let's take a look at what Jesus says about marriage. And he talks about the beauty of marriage between man and woman. Jesus talks about the indissolubility of marriage, the unitive aspect of marriage. He talks about the indissolubility of marriage. So the Lord gives us very important teachings about the sanctity of marriage between man and woman. And notice the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. They tried to test him and trick him. And so they came up to him and says, "Is it lawful for a husband ever to divorce his wife?" And Jesus said, "Well, what did Moses say?" And the Pharisee says, "Well, Moses permitted a bill of divorce, and so that the husband could dismiss his wife by a written bill of divorce." Well, when you read the reason why Moses did this, it was actually to protect the woman and to save the lives of women, because one of the commentaries that I had read said that in those days, you know, 1,000 years before Christ, if the husband didn't like his wife, he would have her killed. He would have her bumped off. And so instead, Moses said, well, in order to save and safeguard the life of women, he allowed the husband to, instead of doing that, to give a bill of divorce and dismiss her. But Jesus now says what God's teaching is about marriage. And he says, Moses only did that because of the hardness of people's hearts. But now Jesus restores his teaching, God's teaching on marriage, and says, but from the beginning of creation, all the way back to Adam and Eve, God made them male and female. Notice that's the first point, is that marriage is between male and female, between man and woman. That is the Bible's definition of marriage. That's God's definition of marriage. No matter what courts may say or what people may say, if you want to see what is God's teaching, what's the Bible's teaching on marriage, it's right here in St. Mark's Gospel. Marriage is between male and female, between man and woman. And the man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. So marriage then has the unitive aspect, the union of husband and wife, where the two become one, where the two become one flesh. And Jesus says they are no longer two, but they are one. So that's the unitive aspect of marriage, that marriage unites man and woman in as one. And it's God who joins them as one. And then he says, and what God has joined, no human being must separate. So now Jesus is talking about the indissolubility of marriage, that marriage is indissoluble until death do they part. And then, of course, the disciples, when they get Jesus aside, question him about this because they said, wow, this is a really very strong teaching, a very hard teaching to accept and understand. But then Jesus does not water it down. He doesn't compromise. In fact, he says something even stronger. He says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So God's teaching on marriage is that marriage is unitive, it's indissoluble, it's an image of God's love for his people, it's a faithful kind of love, it's the love that Jesus has for us, his church, the bride of Christ, and that marriage is something very sacred, something very holy. And that to divorce one's wife and marry another, Jesus says, is living in adultery. Now, of course, if a person's spouse dies, like their first husband or first wife passes away, sure, you can get married. Or if the church examines that first marriage and goes through the entire annulment process to see if there was some essential ingredient lacking from the beginning of that marriage, from day one, perhaps some essential ingredient was lacking from the very beginning, then the church can declare an annulment, which means a true marriage never was there from the beginning. That's what the annulment process does. It doesn't say, oh, it was a true marriage and we're dissolving a true marriage. It's saying that there's something essential in that first marriage that was lacking on the part of the wife or the part of the husband, whatever these grounds might be, whatever the conditions might be. Therefore, it was never a true marriage from the beginning, and God had never joined them together at the beginning. Even though they said the vows and they went through the ceremony, perhaps there was some essential thing lacking on the part of one or both that would have rendered it null from the beginning. So that's the annulment process. So if somebody has an annulment, or if a previous spouse has passed away, then that person is free to marry in the church. So that's the Lord's teaching on the beauty of marriage, that it's between man and woman, that it's a union of husband and wife where the two become one, where it's indissoluble, what God has joined, man must not divide. And so then, very appropriately, the teaching goes from marriage to children, because families, moms and dads, are bringing their little children to Jesus that he might bless them. And the disciples are trying to keep them away. And Jesus became angry at the apostles for not allowing the children to come to him. If you saw in Washington, D.C. or Philadelphia, New York, when Pope Francis was there, it was such a beautiful thing to, when you go online, to see how the moms and dads would hold up their little babies and the Secret Service would come over, take the children up to the Pope, and the Pope would bless them. And especially the little babies that were dressed as mini popes. It was very cute. Go look that one up online. I'm not sure what it's called. Maybe Pope Baby Gets Blessed by the Pope. I don't know what it is, but it's adorable. It's a little tiny baby, and very similar to what happened in the Lord's time. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as them. Let the little children come to me. Do not prevent them. Well, how do we prevent the little children from coming to Jesus? Well, sometimes people do this through abortion, where we don't even give the child a chance to live, or through contraception or sterilization, where families say no to allowing the little children to come into their marriage, into their family. Or sadly, in the case of child abuse or domestic violence, children are harmed. And so Jesus says we must always respect and revere the little children. They belong to God. It says the kingdom of God belongs to these little children, so we should never prevent them through abortion or sterilization or contraception, or to hurt them in any way. It says Jesus embraced them and blessed them and placed his hands upon them. So today, as we celebrate the the beautiful beginning of October with This is Respect Life Month, This is Respect Life Sunday. I think it's a very appropriate gospel reading as we uphold our respect for the sanctity of holy matrimony, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of children, the dignity of the human child. And so this is what we should be thinking about today on this beautiful day of Respect Life Sunday. So we need to encourage married couples to remain dedicated, to remain faithful, to encourage couples to pray together. The statistic I heard is that in our society, 1 out of 2 couples gets divorced, but couples that pray together every day, it's 1 out of 2,000 get divorced. So imagine that. When couples pray together, 1 out of 2,000 compared to the national average. So we need to pray together, especially to pray the Holy Rosary together as a couple. Make sure you go to Mass together. Go to confession once a month on a regular basis. And if you do that, I think that will help to save marriages and save families in our society. Marriage and family is the foundation and building block of our society. So in this Respect Life Sunday, let's pray for marriages, let's pray for families, let's pray for the sanctity and the respect of all human life from the moment of conception until natural death.